Thank you so much for coming and for learning the beautiful Masechta, Masechta Zvachim. Zvachim, as the name implies, refers to sacrifices and the laws of sacrifices. So there are all sorts of great resources online. Last night I watched a couple of videos. People have made, films of what the Beis HaMikdash looked like, what the service was like. It's go to YouTube and you start, I saw it in Hebrew, but I'm sure it's in English too. You put in Zvachim or Daf Yomi, you'll have nice pictures of what the Beis HaMikdash was like. Just one short word of introduction about Karbanos. We'll get to many, many details of Karbanos as we go through Masechet Zvachim with Hashem's help. But a Karban has four primary acts of service. This is true about all Karbanos. There is the Shechita, the slaughter, the Kabbalas Hadam, the catching of the blood in a basin which is sacred, in a holy basin, in a Kli Shares, a serving utensil. There's the holacha, the transport of the blood to the altar. Normally it was walked over. And then there's the zrika, the throwing of the blood onto the altar. Now, there are different, depending on the karban, there are different ways in which the blood is put onto the altar. Sometimes the blood is, the Kohen takes his finger, and he, on the corner of the altar, he just makes a line of blood down on the corner. Sometimes he goes to one corner and he throws the blood and it splatters on both sides, and he goes around to another corner, he throws the blood and he splatters on the other side. But these are the four primary acts of service of a karban, because these are the acts of ritzui damim, of what make the blood a source of creating goodwill from the Almighty. Now, in addition to the ritzui damim, to the acts of service of the blood, there's also another aspect of every karban, and that is some of the karban gets burned on the fires on the altar. The altar had three major fires. There was one fire to burn the parts, the pieces of karbanot, of the sacrifices. There was another fire out of which coals would be taken for the ktoret, for the incense. That was offered every day inside the building of the Beit HaMikdash. And there was another fire just to have a constant amount of flame, to have an esh tamid, to have a constant flame on the altar. So besides the ritzui dam, besides the creating atonements through the blood service, there are also pieces of a karban that are thrown into the fire. Depending on the karban, that there's differences in terms of what piece is thrown into the big fire on the altar. A karban ola, which is the first karban discussed in the Torah, in Sefer Vayikra, every piece of the animal is thrown into the fire. The animal is cut up into little pieces, 13 pieces, and then it's brought up onto the altar, and then each piece is thrown into the fire to create the atonement for the Jewish people. The service of Karbanos takes into account what's going on in a person's thoughts and what's going on in the Kohen's thoughts. That's a unique concept. Suddenly, thought plays a major, major role. As we'll see, if a Kohen does one of the services of the blood, the slaughtering, the catching of the blood, the walking to the temple, walking to the altar, with wrong thoughts, with intent to eat the meat at the wrong time or to eat in the wrong place, that could disqualify a karban. And our mission is going to talk about if there are the wrong thoughts in any of the acts of service of the karban, what happens to the rest of the karban, in particular the wrong thought of shelo lishma, namely a thought for the wrong type of sacrifice. In other words, he slaughtered the animal, and this was, let's say, an ola animal, like the first karban that the Torah talks about. But instead of slaughtering it as an ola, he made a declaration. He said, everybody get ready. I'm about to do a big mitzvah. I'm about to slaughter a shlamim. I'm slaughtering a shlamim. and he slaughtered it as shlamim, when really it was an ola. It had been made consecrated, being holy as an ola. So what is the status of a karban which has the wrong declared intent to it? It should have been an ola. That's how it was consecrated. An ola has all sorts of laws. And this person, the Kohen, messed it up. He said, that's how we know what he thought, because he told us that he was doing it as a shlamim. What happens to the karban? That's the topic of the Mishnah. Question, Rabbi. David? No, okay, yeah,
Rabbi,
question.
Is there a short answer to why Kabanos, instead of like the Kohen say, now I'm going to make a prayer for something or atonement?
Why animal
like,
sacrifice?
I mean, today. Yeah,
so there are a lot of explanations about animal sacrifice. There's a famous idea that the Ramban has, that's probably the main concept. The Ramban says that really every sin should result in the forfeiture of our own lives, because God gives us life, so he deserves that we listen to what he told us to do. If we sin, we really should not live anymore. So that really should inspire us to repent. We really should be dying for every sin. And in his kindness, he gives us another chance at life. So if that's what's going on, that really we should die, and we should realize that we should have a very, you know, extreme and powerful repentance. So if that's really the way it should be, that's brought to life through the service of a sacrifice, a living being, this cute, nice little sheep or goat. Then it's slaughtered, it dies, it loses its life. The idea being, I should have been the one who should have lost my life. God spared me. I need to therefore repent. I need to go back to observance. I need to go back to listening to God. So the very vivid example of the death of a living creature, that's what inspires repentance. That's what the Ramban says. Other explanations are that, forms of that, is that through the death of the animal, which is not inexpensive, it could cost a little bit of money to buy an animal and to offer it. So there's an element of sacrifice, and the sacrifice I'm giving up to God inspires me. I should give my life to God. I should dedicate myself to God. I should be willing to die for God. And that already creates the atonement, the willingness to die for God. You wouldn't have the same degree with just saying words. The vivid example, that's what makes it much more powerful. Yeah, question, Eric.
The example you gave, it depends if mitzvahs kavana. If it doesn't, then maybe sacrifice is good.
So, no, but in sacrifices, kavana plays a major role. That's what we're going to learn. That's the theme. All right, let's start the Mishnah. Kala zvachim. So zvachim means all sacrifices. Zvicha is slaughtering. So all the animals that are to be slaughtered as sacrifices. Let's say a karban chatas, a sin offering brought, as we learned in Horios, for doing an act by mistake that, had it been done on purpose, would have garnered the punishment of karis. Or an offering like an asham, which could be brought for a person who swore falsely about items that he was watching. Or it could be brought for a mitzoro, who has to become pure, or a nazir, who has to become pure. Or an ola, the full sacrifice, where every part of it is burned on the altar. Or a shlamim, a peace offering. Or a bechor, a firstborn animal. Or maaser behema, every tenth animal that has to be given as a sacrifice, every tenth sheep that was born in a year's litter to the rancher. So kol hazvachim, all the sacrifices, shenizbechu, that were slaughtered, shelo lishman, not for the right name, not for the right goal, not for the right intent. In other words, this was an ola. A man took an animal, he said, harezu ola, this animal is an ola. That makes an endava. That's an animal dedicated to be an ola. And then he brings it to the Beit HaMikdash, he goes to the Kohen, he tells the Kohen, here, I brought my sheep, I made it holy to be an ola. And the Kohen takes it, he walks to the area that the regular Jew can't walk, and he slaughters it while screaming out, I'm slaughtering a shlamim. Oh my gosh, he messed up my karban. So any karban that was slaughtered for the wrong motivation, for the wrong name, the wrong type, ksherim, the animal is still kosher. Keep on with the service. Catch the blood, walk the blood to the altar. The blood can be thrown on the altar. The animal does not become disqualified from the other acts of service being done. Ella, but what does happen is shelo alu labalim l'shem chova. The owner of the animal who dedicated this animal will not fulfill his obligation. He said he was going to bring an ola, and ola was not brought. So he did not fulfill his obligation, but the animal continues to be brought. So if somebody said, this animal's an Ola, he brings it to the Beis HaMikdash, and there in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen, instead of slaughtering it as an Ola, slaughters it as a Shlamim, the blood should still be caught. The blood should still be walked to the altar. The blood should still be thrown onto the altar. But the owner of the Karban has not fulfilled yet his vow to bring an Ola. There are exceptions to this. Chutz, we're going to see three opinions in the Mishnah. The opinion number one, Chutz mena Pesach ve'achatas, except for the Karban Pesach and a Karban Chatas. So Karban Pesach on Erev Pesach. A Pesach Bizmano. Karban Pesach is only at its time on Erev Pesach after the Karban Tamid was brought of the afternoon. Then you can bring the Karban Pesach. So a Karban Pesach slaughtered for the wrong name. Let's say it was slaughtered as Ola. It was slaughtered as Shlamim. It was slaughtered as Meiser Behema. It was slaughtered as Bechor. That gets disqualified entirely. We cannot even throw the blood on the altar anymore. We cannot even walk the blood to the altar. It's disqualified. And a Chatas. A Chatas is Becholzman. Anytime. Anytime in the year when a person has a Karban Chatas and he brings it to the temple, this is my sin offering, and the Kohen messes it up, instead of slaughtering it as a Chatas, he slaughters it as an Asham. He slaughters it as a Shlamim. So then it's messed up, and we can't continue on with any of the other acts of service.
Rabbi, there's no punishment for the Kohen for messing it up?
Oh, we're going to see. He might pay for the cost sometimes. We'll see. Okay, Rabbi Lezer says, now, another opinion. The first opinion says that any Karban slaughtered for the wrong name, the other services keep on being done, but it just didn't fulfill the obligation of the owner of the Karban. The exceptions of when does a Karban actually become disqualified because of the wrong intent, that is with Karban Pesach on Erev Pesach, and the Chatas anytime. Rebbe Lezer adds another thing. That's opinion number two. Rebbe Lezer, Omer Afa Asham. Rebbe Lezer says it's not just Chatas, it's Chatas and Asham. So according to Rebbe Lezer, HaPesach Bizmano, Karban Pesach on Erev Pesach, if it was slaughtered for the wrong intent, becomes disqualified. Chatas, a sin offering, anytime during the year, slaughtered with the wrong intent, becomes disqualified. You can't go on with the service. The Asham and the Karban Asham, slaughtered with the wrong intent, also Becholzman, any time, would become disqualified with continuing with the service. Amar Belezer. Belezer explained why. Hachatas Baal Chet. Chatas is an offering brought for a sin by mistake. Ha'asham Baal Chet. And the Karban Asham is also a sin offering brought for a mistake. The word Asham is from the word Ashma, guilt. It's the guilt offering. It's also brought for a sin. So a sin offering with the wrong intent becomes disqualified. Ma'achatas psula shalol lishma, just like l'chatas, the sin offering for the mistaken sin done with the wrong intent becomes disqualified. Afa asham pasul shalol lishma. So to the guilt offering done with the wrong intent becomes disqualified. So far we have two opinions. Opinion number one, the Tanakhama says, all offerings done with the wrong intent, you keep on going with the offering, except for Pesach and Chatas. Opinion number two is Rebbe Lezer. Rebbe Lezer says, all offering done with the wrong intent, you keep on going with the offering, except for Pesach, Chatas, and Asham, because Chatas is for sins, Asham is for sins, so they should have the same law. Yossi ben Choni Omer, Yossi ben Choni is a new opinion. He says it depends what the wrong intent was for. Actually, he goes stricter. He says another opinion. He says the same way a Pesach, let's say someone was bringing an Erev Pesach, he brought his Pesach and the Kohen messed it up, or they're bringing a Chatas, the same way those things get disqualified. He says, Anishchatim L'Shem Pesach, anything that was slaughtered as a Pesach when it wasn't really a Pesach, or L'Shem Chatas, something slaughtered as a Chatas when it wasn't really a Chatas, also becomes psulin, also becomes disqualified. So for him, it's not just the Pesach that if it's done for the wrong thing gets disqualified. If you brought a Shlamim to the Beis HaMikdash and you say, and the Kohen says about this Shlamim, I'm slaughtering it as a Pesach, the Shlamim would be disqualified. If somebody brought an Ola to the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kohen slaughters it as a Chatas, he thinks that can also be disqualified. So not just the Pesach and the Chatas for the wrong intent get disqualified. If what the wrong intent is Pesach and Chatas, all other Karbanos can be disqualified. Ola and Shlamim can also be disqualified if their intent was done for Chatas. Yeah, question.
Is his opinion different than Rabbi Eliezer in the sense of what about an Asham?
He's only Pesach and Chatas.
So he also excludes Asham.
Correct. And now the final opinion in the Mishnah is Shimon Achi Azariah. Shimon, the brother of Azariah. So what does it mean? Why is he called Shimon, the brother of Azariah? The Tiferes Yisrael says, this is the same Azariah who had the son who became the Nasi, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. So Shimon Achi Azariah. Who is Shimon Achi Azariah? It says Rashi, Al Shem Shazariah Asak Bepragmatia. Azariah was a merchant. He would buy things and sell them for profits. And as a result, he had money. The Sipek Tzarke Shimon Achiv Shaya Shaya Osik Batora. He provided for all the needs of Shimon his brother when Shimon his brother was busy learning Torah. The Hisnu Beinayim, they made a condition between the two. Shehelek Lazaria Beschar Talmudo Shel Shimon, that Azariah will get part of the merit of the learning of Shimon. Kedamina Besota, this is what the Gemara says in Sota. Im Yitein Ishas Kolhon Beso Lo Kishimon Achi Azariah. Anyway, the Gemara quotes it there too. Lefichach nikra al shmo, that's why he was called Shimon Achi Azariah. Shelamad al yado, he learned because of Azariah. So since he learned because of Azariah, Azariah had a portion in Shimon's learning, and Azariah gets credit for Shimon's learning. So the Tashbetz quotes this as a matter of halacha. The Rambam writes that Torah should always be free, and people who teach Torah should never take any money for their Torah. It should just be free. Hashem gave it to us for free. It should be taught for free. So the Tashbetz says, yeah, but look here. Shimon, he took for his learning, and you see that we credit Azariah for it. So therefore, the Tashbetz disagrees with the Rambam. He says, if somebody chooses not to take anything for the learning, that's good. But if somebody gives for those who are learning, that's also good. And certainly the one who's learning can accept that which is given to him for the learning. Yeah, Baruch, a question.
That is a fair partnership, Rabbi.
It's a fair partnership. Yeah. There you go, that's right. Yeah, Yosef.
We specifically talk about slaughtering here, but then we mentioned that the actual giving is different steps. The eating, you know, the sprinkling, is it the intention for every part of it or just for the slaughtering?
Right now we're talking about the slaughtering, but it'll be true about any of the major acts of the blood. So, Shimon Achi Azariah, Shimon the brother of Azariah, what's his position? He says like this, Shachton l'shem gavoha me'en k'sherim. If the Kohen had a thought, and the Kohen declared an intent of a type of sacrifice greater than what it really is, then it's kosher. And you can keep on offering the other acts of the karban. However, l'shem namuch mehen, but if the Kohen took the karban and he slaughtered it for a sacrifice of lesser sanctity than what it really was, then it becomes psulin, becomes disqualified, and you cannot continue with any of the further acts of service. You have to throw it out. You have to take the animal out of the temple. Ketzat, so what would be an example? There are two types of holiness. There are kadshei kadashim. There are karbanos that are called the holiest of holies. What are the holiest of holies? An ola, a chatas, an asham, and shalmei tzibur, the karbanos, ashlamim brought by the community on Shavuos. Those are kadshei kadashim. So those that were shachtan l'shem kadshim kalim, if they get slaughtered as kadshim kalim, let's say a person takes a chatas and slaughters it as a regular shlamim. So then you made it into a lower sanctity. So then, psulim, the whole thing's disqualified, we take the blood out. But kachim kalim, but if a shlamim was brought in, sheshchatam l'shem kachay kachim, and it was slaughtered for something of greater holiness, for kachay kachim was slaughtered as an ola, then ksherim, then it becomes holy. Another example of greater holiness and lesser holiness within the category of kachim kalim, of light level of holiness. Bechor, the firstborn animal, and maiser behema, the animal that was the 10th animal, you know, every 10th animal of the animals that were born this year. Sheshachton l'shem shlamim, if they get slaughtered as a shlamim, then they are ksherim, because that is to increase their holiness, because the shlamim has more acts of service than the bechor. As we'll see, the shlamim, the blood is sprinkled on all four sides of the altar, the bechor only on one. There are other aspects too, the shlamim gets waved. Whereas, shlamim sheshachton l'shem bechor l'shem meiser, if a karban shlamim was slaughtered as a bechor, as meiser behemoth, you're trying to put it into a lesser holiness. then it becomes psulim, becomes disqualified. We throw the blood out of the temple. We don't continue on with the acts of service. So in our Mishnah to review, we have different opinions of Tanaim about this question. A Kohen who slaughtered the Karban with the wrong declared intent. The Karban had been consecrated, let's say, as an Ola. And the Karban and the Kohen came in and slaughtered it as a Shlamin. So according to the first opinion, okay, it was a Karban for the wrong intent. You keep on with the other acts of service. You walk the blood to the altar, you throw the blood on the altar. It was an Ola for a Shlamin. Okay, it doesn't work for the owner. He didn't fulfill his obligation. You have to bring another Ola. But the Karban itself doesn't become disqualified. The blood can keep on to the service. Rebbe Lezer says this would be true with an Ola, with a Shlamim, with an Ola slaughtered as a Shlamim. It's not true with a Chatas. It's not true with Pesach. It wouldn't be true with Asham. Yossi ben Choni says that not only is a Chatas and a Pesach disqualified when they are offered for the wrong purpose, any Karban offered for them mistakenly, for Pesach or for Chatas, also becomes disqualified. And Shimon, the brother of Azariah, says it depends what the wrong intent was for. If it was for an intent higher, it's still okay. If it was an intent lower, then it gets disqualified. Yeah, question. Good point. We're going to see in the Gemara, it's kosher for the original intent. Yeah?
I'm sorry, when the Mishnah starts, it's called Shiloh, I'm sorry, Shnizbehu Shiloh Lishman Kshirim Kulam, Ela Mechutz. Where is starting with the Chutz?
Except for these. Everything else, except for these. Except for Pesach and Chatas, but all the other Karbanos would be okay. Olam, Bechor.
Pesach, you know, the corn god messed up the corn. So where the guy is going to go get another animal?
Yeah, it's a big problem. Yeah.
They sell animals outside.
They sold animals outside the Beis HaMikdash. There were lots of animals. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, it was a big market. Yerushalayim had lots of animals making noises in there. Hopefully not too often.
Is the
problem
Pesach a
Kodesh or a Kodesh Kodesh? Touch and column. Says the Gemara. Let's go to the language of the Mishnah. All Karbanos slaughtered for the wrong intent are kosher. Ella, but shelo ella ba'al moshem chova. They don't work for the person who bought them. They're not going to fulfill his obligation. Lamali the Mishnah ella. Why did the Mishnah say the word ella? An extra aleph. Ella shelo ella labaylam. Listen, it should have said velo ella labaylam l'shem chova. It could have been a little bit shorter. The Mishnah could have said kol hazvachim shenizbuchu shelo lishman ksheirin. All the karbanos offered shelo lishmar kasher velo ella labaylam l'shem chova, and they don't fulfill their obligation. So why say the aleph? Why say ella? Hakamashon. This is the point. Exactly Seth's point. Labaylam hu delo alu. They don't work for the owner. They don't work for the owner's obligation. But they continue with their old holiness. They continue as an Ola. You can't make further changes. So if the slaughtering was done, he slaughtered the Ola as a Shlamim. He now has to catch the blood as Ola. He has to walk the blood thinking that it's Ola. He has to throw the blood saying it's Ola. The fact that he made one mistake doesn't mean he should go on to make other mistakes. That's what Rava taught. Ola sheshachta shelo lishma, an Ola that was slaughtered for the wrong intent. Aser lizrok dama shelo lishma. You can't throw the blood now for the wrong intent. The throwing of the blood should be for the original purpose, for the Ola purpose. Yibayis ema svara. If you want, I'll tell you this is based on simple logic. Yibayis ema kra. If you want, I'll tell you it's based on a pasuk. Yibayis ema svara. I can tell you it's logic. It's like this. Mishum deshani bey kolhani. Lishni Bey, because he made one mistake. You should make more mistakes? There's no logic in that. You did one thing wrong, you do another three things wrong? No, now do it right. Lishni Bey, you should keep going on and making other mistakes? That's point number one. Yibayisei Makra, or else it's from a pasuk. The pasuk says, Motzos Vasecha Tishmor. What comes out of your lips, you should watch. Vasisan, you should fulfill. Kasher Nadarta La Hashem Elokecha. as you vow to God your Lord, nedava, a present. Now, in Masechet Megillah, we learned that there are two types of vows. There is the vow called neder, there's the vow called nedava. Neder is where a person says, hare alai ola, behold upon me, is an ola obligation. Nedava is where he took a particular animal, he said, hare zu ola, this animal is an ola. There's a big difference. If he said, hare alai ola, the obligation is on me, so if the animal that he separates for the ola then gets lost, he has to replace it, because the obligation is on him. But if he said, hare zu ola, this animal is an ola, if this animal gets lost, he doesn't need to replace it, because it was only this. Nidava is hare zu. Hare alai is neder. So look at this pasuk. Keep the words that come out of your mouth. Do as you made a neder to God your Lord, a nedava. What is it? Is it a neder or a nedava? These are two different things. So ask the Gemara this question. Hi, nedava. Do what you do, fulfill your word, and bring a nedava. This is a nedava. Neder who? But it said kasher nadarta, as you made a neder. A neder is not the same thing as nedava. So it means like this. Elim kimash nadarta sisa yehi neder. If you promise tare olai ola, and you're doing that in fact an ola, the korban and the kohen is slaughtering it as an ola, it's a neder. Vimlo. But if you deviated from the way you promised, it wasn't slaughtered as ola, was ordered as shlamim. Okay, nedava yehi. Now it'll switch to being a nedava. It'll be a gift. It won't be the neder. But nedava mishar lishnuye bay. When you bring a nedava, are you allowed to start making changes and catch the blood for the sake of some sacrifice other than what it is? No, you have to do it the way it was dedicated. So too, that's the source of the verse, that even though there was a deviation on one of the acts of service, the other acts of service should continue on the way they're supposed to be.
The
correct, the way they're supposed to be with the first intent.
So two mistakes don't make it right. That's what it is, right?
Don't make the second mistake. Yeah, you made one mistake, so leave it one mistake. Now go back.
Rabbi, it won't apply to the person who gave the original sacrifice.
He did not fulfill his obligation yet.
So on whose behalf then does this korban apply?
Right, it's a chatas.
It's an adava, it's a gift. It doesn't fulfill an obligation. It's a gift, it's a donation. All right, so that was the end of that first topic. Now we go on to a new topic. This is a very exciting topic. What happens when there is no thought? Till now, we've been talking about the wrong thought. It was supposed to be a shlamim, he slaughtered it as an ola. It was supposed to be an ola, he slaughtered it as a shlamim. What happens if there's no thought? Mindless activity. Does that work? Would a karban being offered with no thought, can that be an acceptable sacrifice? What's the status of stama, doing things without any intent at all? Not negative, but not positive either. Amar le Ravina le Rav Papa. Ravina said to Rav Papa, Lo havis gaban buurta betchuma bei chemech. You weren't by us in the evening in this place, bei chemech. Now, apparently they didn't learn in the city. They used to learn outside the city in the fields in the tchum within the 2,000 amos. So he said, it's a pity you weren't with us when we gathered and we had this big discussion. What was Rav Papa missing out? So Ravina explained, Derami Rava Mili Ma'al Yasad, Dadi. Rava threw great matters one against the other. He asked a great contradiction. Vishani Luhu, and then he resolved the matters. My mili ma'al yisa. What are these great matters that he threw one against the other, that he found this great contradiction? Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah. Any sacrifice, any karba, that was slaughtered for the wrong intent, with the wrong declared intent, it had been consecrated as an ola, but it was slaughtered as a shlamim. Sacrifice is okay, you can keep on doing the service with the blood, but it's not going to fulfill the obligation of the one who donated it. Time of the Shalol Shman. So when is it okay and the blood can keep on being served? If it was done with the wrong intent. Hastama. But if it was done with no intent at all, he just slaughtered it. He wasn't thinking anything. He didn't declare anything. Alunami labayim l'shem chova. That sounds like that would even work for the obligation of the owner. Alma, so you see that stama, lack of intent, kilishman dami, that's as good as having the positive intent, this is an ola. Or mini, but I'll challenge you from a law in regards to gittin. A get has to be written for this particular woman. Let's say Reuven is married to Rachel. If Reuven wants to divorce Rachel, he can't go to the store and say, okay, find me a get which says Reuven divorces Rachel. Nope, because that wasn't written for his wife. He needs to go to a sofer and commission the sofer to write a get for his wife, Rachel. Ah, so we learned. Kol ha-get shenichtav shelo l'shem isha. Any get not written for this woman, it was written for another woman whose name was Rachel, is pasul, is disqualified. The Torah says, v'kasav la, he'll write it to her, l'shma, for her sake. Ustama nami pasul. A get that was written without any intent is also pasul. Let's say there's a sofer, and he writes gittin with all sorts of common names. He writes Yaakov with Leah, Yaakov with Rachel. So when a Yaakov who's married to a Rachel will come, I'll hand him this get, he'll divorce her. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. And yet, v'shani zvachim b'stam. So here you have the contradiction. In regards to get, we don't say that lack of intent is as good as intent. And yet, in regards to karbanos, we say lack of intent is as good as positive intent. So it's a contradiction. What is the status of lack of intent? The Shani Sarava answered this great question. Zvachim bistam lishman omdin. When you have an animal that was consecrated, even without an active thought, I'm doing this as an ola, it's standing to be an ola. It's consecrated to be an ola. So as long as there was no thought of something else, it stays on track with the inertia that it had to be an ola. So simple lack of thought will also work for it. However, Isha bistam alav legerish and omedes. A woman who's married, she's not primed to be divorced. When a couple are married, their intent is till death do us part. Their intent is to be married. No one is married saying, oh, well, you know, I'll probably divorce her. It's not normal. So therefore, if a sofer writes for a particular woman who's married without intent for her, it didn't work. Because, of course, she's not standing to be divorced. So now the Gemara questions the very law of Rava. Uzvachin bistamak sheirin minalan. How did Rava know that a karban that's offered without any intent at all, just stomach, just with a blank mind, is kosher? How do we know that? If you're going to tell me, so he derives it from the language of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Kol hazvachim, all the sacrifices, shenizbuchu shelo lishman, that were slaughtered for some other intent, are kosher, but they don't fulfill the obligation of their owner." Below katani, it didn't say shelo nizbuchu lishman, any sacrifice that wasn't slaughtered for its sake. So therefore, if it would have said any sacrifice that wasn't slaughtered for its sake, it would imply even a blank slaughtering is not slaughtered for its sake. It didn't say that. It said any sacrifice that was slaughtered for the wrong intent. So that means it doesn't apply to stomach. But one second, if you're going to derive such an inference from such a change of language, you have the same type of language in regards to gittin. Gabe get nami yakatani. In regards to get, we have the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, kala get shenichtav shelo l'shem isha pasul. It says, any get that was written not for the sake of this woman is pasul. V'lokotan doesn't say, shalo nichtav l'shem isha. Any get that wasn't written for this woman is pasul. So you can say, oh, you see that stama is kosher. So that's not a proof. This type of language is not a proof. Ella, so rather, what was Rava's source that blank thoughts work for a karban? Meha, from the following source. Taking out the words, it's not. Ketzad l'shman v'shalo l'shman. We're going to see later, the Mishnayos get a little bit more complicated. They talk about a person who does an act of service with both intents. So let's say he started the slaughter saying, this is for a shlamim, but before he finished slaughtering, he said, an ola. So he switched. He had the right intent and the wrong intent. He said both. So the Mishnah says, Ketzad l'shman v'shalo l'shman. How would you have this case of the right intent plus the wrong intent? In the beginning of the act of slaughter, he says it's l'shem Pesach. By the time he's finishing the act of slaughter, he says, no, it's l'shem shlamim. It's for the sake of a shlamim. So then, so why is this l'shman v'shalo l'shman? Da'amah l'shem Pesach l'shem shlamim. He said for the sake of Pesach, and it's pasul, and he said for the sake of shlam, implying halashem pesach. But if he would just say at the beginning, l'shem pesach, for the sake of pesach, and bistama, then just be not have any thought afterwards, kosher. That would be kosher, right? If you have lishma v'shalo lishma. Lishma and shalo lishma is to think Pesach and then think shlamim. Lishma for the right purpose, Pesach, and then the wrong purpose, shlamim. Implying, though, that's when it's the right and the wrong. But if it would be l'shem Pesach and then nothing, that's not the right and the wrong, that's just the right. So you see that stama is okay. Alma stama k'lishma dami. You see that with no thought at all, that's as good as lishma. So Gemara said, maybe not. Yo, mashani asa, maybe if you said first the right thing for Pesach and then nothing, once you've declared what you're doing it for, the continuation, which is blank, is probably just a continuation of the original thought. But you don't see that just a regular blank thought is as good as for the right purposes. Elami Seifa. So rather, Rava's sources from the end of that mission. That mission talks about Shalom Lishman, first the wrong thought, and then the right thought, and then Lishman. So what is, and explains what is that? L'shem Shlamim, first saying that it was for Shlamim, when it was really a Pesach, and then saying it's L'shem Pesach, then saying it's for a Pesach. One second. Taima d'amar L'shem Shlamim, L'shem Pesach. Why is it Shalom L'shma? And then L'shma, because it was first L'shem Shlamim, then L'shem Pesach. Hastam, implying that if it was just blank, and then L'shem Pesach, it would be kosher, that would be okay. So you see that blank is not Shalom L'shma. Again, maybe not. Dilma, maybe it's a difference. Shiny Asner, it's different. Since at the end you had the right thoughts, it was L'shem Pesach, that shows that the beginning, which was blank, was also okay. The end proved what the beginning was. Inam, or else I can tell you, I did the Tani L'shman and Shalom L'shman. Maybe just because in the beginning we said L'shman and then Shalom L'shman, which was Pesach and then Shlamin. And certainly Pesach and then blank would be okay because you're just continuing from Pesach. Tananami, that's why at the end it said Shalom Lishman Ulishman. If you'd have Shlam and then Pesach. But it was not to say that Shalom Lishman, but maybe Shalom Lishman and Stama would be the same thing. Maybe Stama and Lishma would also be the same thing. Ella, so rather, the source of Ravas may have from the following source. The Mishnah says like this: L'shem Shisha Dvarim Azavach Nizbach. There has to be actually six intents when the Kohen slaughters the carbon. Number one, l'shem carbon, for the sake of this carbon. If it's a shlamim, for the sake of the shlamim. Number two, l'shem zoveach, for the sake of the man who's bringing it, who needs to get atonement, not for some other man. Number three, l'shem Hashem, for the sake of God. Number four, l'shem ishim, for the sake that the fire should turn the meat of this carbon into ash, not that he's going to roast the meat and eat it. Number five, l'shem reach, that this carbon as it's burned should create a nice smell for Hashem. And number six, l'shem nichoach, that it should make Hashem have nachas, it should give Hashem sweet feelings. V'achatas v'asham, and a seventh intent for achatas and an asham, l'shem achet, for the sake of the sin itself. Okay, this is the Tanakhama. Amar Rabbi Yossi says, af mishalo haya b'libo l'shem achas mikol elu kasha. Even if somebody didn't have one of these intents, it's still kosher. Shekain t'nai bezdin hu, because actually bezdin wants you to slaughter it without any intent at all. So one second. If you're going to say no intent at all, is no good, asni bezdin de lolema l'shmo, right? Because the Gemara explains Rabbi Yossi first. Bezdin made a condition that you shouldn't say why you're slaughtering it. Because if you say I'm slaughtering it for the chatas, maybe it was really an olah, you're slaughtering it for the wrong thing. So they said, just slaughter it without any intents. Now, Isak Adaitach Stama Pasli, if you're going to tell me that no intent is no good, Kaimi Bezdin Umasni Milsa the Mifsalabay, are Bezdin going to stand up and create a law to disqualify people's karbanos? That makes no sense at all. So that's how Rava knew that in regards to a karban, no intent is okay. So now, we got to get the Stama Pasli Nalan. How did Rava know that in regards to a get, lack of intent is no good. Maybe it's okay. Elim haditnan. If you can tell me to the following Mishnah. The Mishnah says, a man wants to divorce his wife. Hey, over Bashuk. He's walking in the market. Vishamar sofin mak, and he hears the scribes teaching their students. Write the following practice get. Ish ploni girish plonis mimakum ploni. So-and-so divorced so-and-so from the following place. Then the guy walking by says, hey, zeshmi v'zeshem ishti. That's my name. That's my wife's name. And we live here. And I want to get her divorced. Let me go in and buy it. Pasul, he can't use it. Ligarish bought a divorce because it wasn't written for him and his wife. So you see that it has to be written for the right people. And just plain is no good. Maybe not. Maybe therefore, there it says the Gemara Dilma could Rav Papa. There it was like Rav Papa. I'm Rav Papa because Rav Papa said, "Ach, over there is besofnas yun l'slamin askinan." It's when they're writing just as practice. Lo ichtav l'shem krisos klal. It wasn't written to really make a divorce. It was just written as practice. So that's not the same thing. But maybe if you write a sofer who writes for divorce without any person in particular in mind, maybe it does work. So we're going to see from other sources that it doesn't work. So there was a question, Todd.
Yeah. So. I'm a little unclear. Does the Kohen actually have to say, "I'm doing it for this reason" at the time he does the slaughter? So, okay, so then how do you ever get a situation where someone does it for a stomp? If he says nothing, then he hasn't fulfilled the
obligation. No, but that's what we're saying. We encourage him to say nothing. Because so many times they said the wrong thing. So better just say nothing. Don't think anything, and it's going to be fine.
Yeah, but then you haven't declared any. Then there's no.
Better not. That's what Rabbi Yossi says. They took it away because that at least it's kosher. Rabbi Yossi said they took away the declaration of intent. According to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Chananya ben Akashi Omer, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu, Lezakos Es Yisrael.